Oh, shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber and he's come to take my name. Oh, love isn't my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. Let's sing that. Shame is a prison. Come on. As cruel as
Okay. Nice. Why didn't she? Need some music back here. All right. So that's it, Nadine. We just got to set it up. Oh, this is glass.
Well, good morning, Ascend Church. Amen. Well, I'm so happy to see you. I would like to invite you to stand up with us while we worship and give God our best praise. I'd like to invite those watching online to stand up in your living room, in your kitchen, and give God some praise too. Come on.
Thank you.
Church, we're going to get a little wild in this place today. We're going to give our biggest and brightest and loudest shouts of hallelujah to the King of Glory, for he alone is worthy. If you know what I'm talking about, somebody give him some praise. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I'll raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. situation, over sickness, over finances, over your marriage, over your children. We can raise that hallelujah like a banner, like a flag. Come on and let it rise in this room and give Him praise. Let's sing. Come on.
We raise a hallelujah. We raise a hallelujah. We raise a hallelujah.
Church, I just encourage you to lift your hands in this place and give Him your worship, all your praise, all the glory. He's the name above all names, yeah.
And there's a space in every beating heart. There's a longing that reaches past the stars. And there's an answer to every question mark. There's a name. And there's a hope flowing through these veins. And there's a voice that echoes through the an ember ready for the flame. There's a name. We will lift our eyes on the one who overcame. We will stand in awe of the one who gives a chance. Triumphs over fear. There's a laughter that wipes away all. There's a presence that changes atmospheres. There's a name. Thank you.
set our eyes on you, we will stand in awe of the one who breaks the chains.
Church, how good to see you this morning. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad you're part of the service today. I love what we've been singing because it's not just a melody. We're singing about what He's done for us. And I just felt to emphasize what Jesus has done. Because right now we're going to have an opportunity for anyone who needs prayer. We have a prayer team. You're welcome to come forward if there's anything you need prayer for. We're going to pray for those that are watching online. However, I want to tell you that we're not the sick trying to get healed. We're not trying to twist God's arm and trying to get Him to do something, and we're not sure if He's going to do it. We are in a position that He has already done everything that we need Him to do. He has already overcame every obstacle that you may ever face. So when you have a diagnosis and the doctor says to you, you have cancer growing in your body, don't allow fear to take a grip of your heart, because you've got to come back and you've got to look at the one who overcame it all. And you've got to say, He came to this earth and He did all of that, not for Himself. He had it already. He did that for me. And so I just have to receive whatever it is that He paid for. Amen? We come from that position that we are not trying to twist God's arm. We're not trying to see, is it His will to heal me? Is it His will to do this for me? Have I been good enough? Have I done what it takes? No, we're here to receive because He already said, you are good enough. I'm going to do it for you, and it's done. Amen? And so whatever it is, whether it's freedom in your body, whether it's a financial need, whether it's a depression, whatever it is, right now all we're doing is stepping in and receiving what He's already paid for. Amen? And I'm going to pray over those that are watching, and then we're going to begin to sing one song. And as we sing that last song, just if you're not coming for prayer, just worship the Lord with everything you have. Set your eyes on Him. You receive so much more when you position your heart in worship before the Lord. Amen. And we're going to pray for Brady.
Yeah.
Nadine, he's one of our grandchildren, one of our grandkids. Pray for him, Steve.
All right. Praise the Lord.
He loves being on the stage, doesn't he?
We're going to pray for Brady. This is my grandson. And he just said that he started having some palpitations of his heart. And so we're going to pray for him. And I want to pray for anybody who needs healing today. If you need healing today in your body, let me tell you, Jesus is still the healer today. And we've seen many, many miracles take place as we've prayed for people. So if you need prayer, please don't be shy. We love you. God loves you. Jesus wants you well. Come out right now, and we're going to pray for you. And won't you stretch your hands and pray with us for Brady? Just close your eyes, Brady. Father, we thank you for Brady. We thank you that he belongs to you. We thank you, Jesus, that you are his healer, that you yourself have taken all of his sickness and you've taken all of his pain. And your word says that by your stripes we were healed. Thank you, Lord, that healing belongs to us. You said the believer will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So as I lay my hands up, as we lay our hands upon Brady, Lord, we release your healing anointing and power. We command his heart to be healed. We command every pain to go. Whatever's causing this, we take authority over you. We command this illness, sickness, go in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for healing Brady from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Thank you for perfect health, Lord. Thank you when they examine him, they will find nothing is wrong, that he's totally well, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And if you are watching today online, there he goes. If you're watching online today, I want to pray for you too. Wherever you are, if you need healing, put your hand on your body right now. Just lay your hand on your body. Because the power of God is going to come right through this camera and touch you wherever you are. Because God is everywhere. He's everywhere present. So Father, right now, I pray for all, everyone who's watching this today, those who need healing in their body. Father, let your healing power flow through them right now. In the name of Jesus, I command sickness to go, pain to go, disease to go. I command healing to come in Jesus' name. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the thanks. Thank you for miracles. Thank you right now for your healing power flowing through people's body in Jesus' name. If you agree, say, I agree. Amen and amen. Come on, we're going to sing our final song this morning. It's called My One, My All. I love the fact that we got a theme going on here today. And how many of you know what that theme is? It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is our message. Jesus is our passion. Jesus is the one we worship. Jesus is our healer. He's our provider. He's our protector. He's our deliverer. Whatever you need, let me tell you, Jesus is truly the answer to whatever the question is. And I want to encourage you today to lift your hands and lift your voice and sing together with us, worship with us. He's my one, he's my all. Amen.
Just one touch, everything changes. Everything changes with one word. The world rearranges. The world rearranges by one life. Death was defeated. Death was defeated. This one love has paid for my freedom, paid for my freedom. No other hope, no other love, my one, my all, Jesus. No other God, no
no other hope, no other love, my one.
nothing and no one compares to you, God. There's no one like you. There's no one like you. Nothing and no one compares to you, God. There's no one like you. There's no one like you. Nothing and no one compares to you, God. There's no one like you. There's no one like you. There's no one like you, Jesus. Oh, just one touch and everything changes. Everything changes. No other love, no other love. My one, my all, Jesus. No other God, no one above. You're all I want, Jesus. Just one touch, everything changes. Everything changes. Hallelujah. Somebody give him a praise.
Hallelujah. So beautiful. So beautiful. Beautiful. What a wonderful job that this team does of leading us in worship. Come on, let's thank them this morning. All the time they put into getting it right for us, right? Hallelujah. Welcome to Ascend Church. So good to see your happy faces today. Won't you just turn and greet someone and you may be seated. Thank you. Church this morning. Welcome to those watching online. We're so glad you're part of our service today. How are you all doing? Good. Glad to be in church. I love it. You know, you can worship God anywhere, but there's something about corporate worship that just gets me. I just love it. I love it. I just wanted to, Dave Mantwell, Dave, stand up for us. Dave, can you hear me? Stand up for me, brother. It's his birthday today. Come on. Come on, Dave. Let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dave. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Such a blessing.
blessing to us. We're so happy you're with us on your birthday. Amen. Praise God. We had a prayer service. We had a prayer meeting before service. If you've never come, you need to come. It was like we had church all before we came. It was so powerful. From 9:15 to 9:45, we meet just at the top of the stairs over there. So join us for that. We'd love you to. I just want to welcome everyone present. I want to welcome those that are watching from around the world online. I want to welcome, greet our Ascend Church members that are not in church today. We miss you. We hope we see you soon. And just enjoy the service with us today. And I want to welcome our first-time guests. If we have anyone that's visiting us for the first time today, we especially want you to feel welcome. It's a very friendly congregation. It's so friendly. I love it. It's just, I look forward to getting together with the people in this church because there's such a sweet spirit amongst everyone. And we hope that you, if you're visiting today, feel welcome. And if you're here for the first time, we'd like to just hand you a visitor pack where you're sitting. So if you're here first time, would you wave your hand? God bless you. Welcome. Welcome. Come on, make it sound like it. Thank you. Over here on the second row, we just keep it waving. Sometimes it's too fast for them to get there. But in that bag's a couple of things. One would be a guest card. If you take a moment and fill that out for us. Just drop it in the offering bucket that comes by at the end of the service. It gives the pastor an opportunity to call you, find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for being with us today. We're glad you're here. Praise God. I want to remind you there's four different platforms to watch us on. You know, sometimes you have glitches on one or the other, and there's always an alternative. So there's Facebook Live. There's our website, which is ascendchurch.us. There's our mobile app, which just ask any one of our members. We'll be able to help you download that. And then there's YouTube, which is Ascend Church Jupiter. And that you can watch live, and you can go back, and you can watch it after the fact. So that's a way, if you've got any of those platforms, you can go ahead and share it. Even on our mobile app, everything is shareable. So if you're reading a scripture and you see on the mobile app, the Ascend Church mobile app, you see a scripture and you think of somebody you want to share it with, it's just a simple click, it shares. If you're watching the message, you can share that. So thank you for doing that. And I just want to remind you, we do a Spanish translation of every service. That's available on YouTube and on our website. And so if you have somebody that wants to watch in Spanish, listen in Spanish rather, they're able to do that as well. So we're going to go through our four purposes of the church, and then we're getting straight into the message this morning. The four main purposes of our church is we want to help you know God, to find freedom, to discover your purpose, and to make a difference. Amen? That's the main purpose behind everything we do. So we look forward to this message that Pastor Steve's going to bring this morning. I've got, if you didn't get the sermon notes, there's sermon notes as you walk in. If you didn't get them and you want them, why don't you just wave your hand and Usher will get to you. Ushers, so you got that? Somebody got it? Thank you. Okay, they'll take a note, pass them around. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Great, thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. Glad you're here today. I've been running around asking people to move forward. I have to actually physically, you'd save me a lot of time. We want to fill the front first. So I want to ask you, when you come to church, just come fill up these front sections first. Pretty soon, we're going to fill the back section too. Now, did anyone see the TV program this morning? Did anyone watch on Fox 29? Did you watch it? It is Fox 29, right? I couldn't find it. I was looking for it on my TV. I couldn't find it this morning. How was it? Was it good? Well, we are praying and trusting that the Lord will use that television program to reach people, to impact. How many people came to this church because you saw me on TV at some time? Hold your hand up high. You came here because you saw me on TV. Yeah, there's a few people that came because of that. And I believe that God is going to use that television show. The people are going to see it. And this is what I pray. When they find it, they can't stop watching and they want to come to church. Are you ready for God's word today? Say, I am ready. Father, we thank you that you are so good, Lord. We thank you that you are so faithful. We thank you, Lord, that every good thing in our life comes from you. We thank you that we can gather together here today with the family of God and come into your presence, Lord, and hear your life-changing word. Father, thank you for anointing your word today. We give you all the praise for everything that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say thank you to all of our servant leaders today who served in God's house. We so appreciate people who are serving in our children's ministry, our ushers, our greeters, our media team. They get here early, our worship team. Won't you give them a big round of applause? Let them know we appreciate them. We couldn't do it. We would not be able to do it without you. We are a team. Isn't that right? Praise God. Well, today I want to speak about God is your defender. God is your defender. Say, God is my defender. Let me do that again. I'm going to start again. Can I start again? Is that okay, Abel? Praise the Lord. Well, good morning. I'm so glad you're watching this today. I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church in beautiful Jupiter, Florida. And if you live anywhere near Jupiter, I want to invite you. We'd love to have you come visit our church. I can promise you that you will be made to feel welcome. We got the friendliest people in town, and we hope to see you soon. Don't we, everybody? And today, I want to speak about God is your defender. You know, we all have people that come against us. We all have people that make negative comments and try and discredit us, try and belittle us even. And our human nature, I don't know about you, but my human nature is I want to get in there and I want to straighten them out and I want to show them where they're wrong. Am I the only one? Sometimes we think we have to defend ourselves. You know, it's our reputation. But the problem with that approach is that as soon as you get one person straightened out, three more people will pop up. There's always somebody that will be against you, someone who's trying to make you look bad. And if you're constantly trying to defend yourself, you'll get distracted fighting battles that you were never supposed to fight. And it's easy to get baited into conflict where you think to yourself, you know, can't believe what they said about me. Did you see what they said about me on social media? I'm going to show them who they're messing with. I tell you, do you know how much energy it takes to try and pay somebody back or try and prove to them that you really are a nice person? You know, you're spending emotional energy that you need to pursue your own goals and your own dreams. And in Psalm 124, verse 8, I love what David said. He said, for the same God who made everything, our Creator and our mighty Maker, He Himself is our helper and defender. Say, God Himself is my defender. Isn't that what it says? The one who made heaven and earth, He Himself is our defender. In Psalm 5, in verse 1, it says, but let all those who rejoice in, let all those rejoice who put their trust in you, and let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. The Bible says if you put your trust in God to be your defender, you can rejoice, you can be joyful knowing that God is your defender. In Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my revelation light to guide me along the way. He's the source of my salvation to defend me. Every day I fear nobody. I fear no one. The Lord is the one who defends me every day. Say, thank you, Lord, you defend me every day. See, here's the key. You don't have to defend yourself. God said that He will defend you. He will protect your reputation. So quit worrying about the chatter and the negative comments. Those are all distractions. That's the enemy trying to bait you off course so you'll waste time and energy getting involved in battles that really do not matter to your destiny. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, the reason I'm upset because I'm really a good person. And what they're saying, you know, what they're saying about me is not true. It's not true what they're saying. Listen, let me let you in on a secret. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how loving you are, how kind you are, how upstanding you are. Somebody is not going to like you. somebody is going to try and discredit you. I mean, it's amazing that some people don't like me. I still can't understand it, you know. But you know what? It happened with Jesus. Even though when Jesus was on the earth, the Bible says he went around doing only good. Only good, healing the sick, lifting the fallen, encouraging people who were down. He did nothing but good. That's what it says in Acts 10, verse 38. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He went around doing good. Even though Jesus did nothing but good, he was still falsely accused. He was still misunderstood. How did Jesus defend himself? How did he protect his reputation? The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, this is the kind of life that you've been invited into, the kind of life that Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done and know how to do it step by step. He never did one thing wrong. Not once said anything amiss. They called him every name in the book, and he said nothing back. He suffered in silence, content to let God set things right. You see, that's the key. The New Living Translation says he did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. See, I wonder how much more peace you would have in your life and how much more you would enjoy your life if you would start leaving your cases in the hands of God and let him be your defender and let him be your vindicator. You know, we spend too much time, I think, trying to defend ourselves, trying to prove, you know, to people who we are, worried about what they think. We spend too much, you know, time thinking about these things. Thank you, Marco. And you can move on for me. That's the second one. I would encourage you to put your reputation into the hands of God. Because I tell you right now, God can vindicate you much better than you can ever vindicate yourself. And the scripture says in Hebrews 10, verse 30, I know him who said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. God said, I will repay. And the New Living Translation says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back. And the Living Bible says, justice belongs to me. I will repay them, who also said the Lord himself will handle these cases. God says, I'll handle this case. I'll pay them back. The Message Bible says, vengeance is mine and I won't overlook a thing. And God will judge his people. Nobody's getting by with anything, believe me. God said to God told Moses and the Israelites in Exodus 23, verse 22, he said, if you are careful to obey him and follow all of my instructions, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and I will oppose those who oppose you. The Bible says when you follow the Lord and you obeying God, God will oppose those who oppose you. Those are your enemies. They will be God's enemies. That's what the scripture says. You don't have to defend yourself. You just be careful to follow and obey God, and he will defend you against your enemies. He will vindicate you. You don't have to retaliate. You don't have to try to pay people back. You don't have to convince people to change their mind. The truth is, some people are never going to be for you, no matter what you do. They're not going to like you, no matter what you do. They are intent on misunderstanding you. They don't want to see your point of view. They don't want to give you the benefit of the doubt. But listen, don't go the next 5 years frustrated because they're negative toward you, engaged in a battle that you're never supposed to be engaged in. The scripture says in Luke chapter 12, in verse 11, when people accuse you before everyone and forcefully drag you before the religious leaders and authorities, do not be troubled. Don't worry about defending yourself. See, it's time to leave it in the hands of God. Quit worrying about what they think, or quit reading about what they say about you on social media. Quit getting all riled up thinking about how you can retaliate, how you can pay them back. Because as long as you're defending yourself, then the true defender, the Most High God, he'll step back and he'll let you do it your way. But when we make this decision, Lord, I'm turning this over to you. I'm not going to spend my life worried about what somebody else is saying. I'm not going to waste my energy trying to change their mind. I'm not going to live upset because they don't like me. God, I know you my defender. I know you fighting my battles. Let me tell you, when you do that, that's when the creator of the universe will go to work for you. When people try to push you down, God will lift you up. They try to make you look bad, he'll turn it around and he'll make you look good. He'll cause you to shine. That's what happened in the scripture to a man named Mordecai. His cousin was Esther, and he had raised Esther like his own daughter. And she had favor with King Ahasuerus. And King Ahasuerus reigned over 127 provinces from India all the way to Ethiopia. And he chose Esther to be his queen. And Mordecai, Esther's cousin, he was a good man. He was doing the right thing, honoring God. But a man named Haman didn't like Mordecai because Mordecai was Jewish and he wouldn't bow down to Haman. When Haman came down the street, he wanted everyone to bow down. And Mordecai refused to bow down because that was against the traditions of his people. And so Haman was constantly trying to discredit Mordecai, push him down, make him look bad. But Mordecai, he didn't get upset. He didn't try and pay him back. He understood this principle that he had a defender. And he left that case in the hands of Almighty God. And in the natural realm, Haman had the advantage because he worked for the king. He was in the palace. He had a prestigious, influential position. I mean, what could Mordecai ever do against a man like Haman? And Haman actually had a plot that he was going to kill all of the Jewish people. And he convinced the king that he said that the Jewish people, they refuse to keep your laws. And so he got the king to sign a decree that all the Jewish people would be destroyed on a certain date. So the Jewish people began to fast and to pray. Now, Esther was Jewish. The king didn't know that. Haman made a gallows. He built a gallows that he was going to hang Mordecai on. The gallows was 75 feet high, and he had it all set up. Haman was going to hang Mordecai. He was going to ask the king for permission to do it the next day. And then his plan was to annihilate all of the Jewish people. But that night, the king couldn't sleep. And he asked his assistant to bring him one of the books that recorded the city's history. And it just so happened that the king read about a good deed that Mordecai had done years before, where Mordecai had revealed and uncovered a plot to try and assassinate the king. And the king was so impressed, the next morning he called Haman. And he said to him, Haman, what do you think we should do to honor a man who's done a good deed and serve the king with excellence? Haman was so self-centered that he thought the king's talking about him. So he played it up real big. And he's like, King, I think we should put your royal robe on this man. And I think we should have a big parade. And I think we should march him up and down the streets riding on the king's horse. And we should announce what a great man he is. And the king said, Haman, I love that idea. Go find Mordecai and do just what you said. March him up and down the street on my horse and announce what a great man he is. What am I saying? Let me tell you, God knows how to protect your reputation. Why don't you put that case in his hands and quit spending all your time trying to defend yourself? Queen Esther went to the king. She asked him to spare her life and the lives of her people. The king didn't realize that she was Jewish. And the Bible says in Esther chapter 7, King Ahasuerus, he said, Who? Where is he? This is monstrous. An enemy, an adversary, this evil Haman, said Esther. Haman was terror-stricken before the king and the queen. And the king was raging. He left his wine. He stalked out of the palace into the palace garden. Haman stood there pleading with Queen Esther for his life. He could see the king was finished with him and that he was doomed. And as the king came back from the palace garden into the banquet hall, Haman was groveling on the couch on which Esther was reclining. And the king roared, Will he even molest the queen while I'm around the corner? And when the word left the king's mouth, all the blood drained from Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, she spoke up. She said, look over there. There's the gallows that Haman built for Mordecai, who saved the king's life. It's right next to Haman's house, 75 feet high. The king said, hang Haman on that on those gallows. So Haman was hanged on the very gallows that he had built for Mordecai, and the king's hot anger was cooled. Now let me tell you, you have a defender. God will defend you, and God can do it better than you can. He knows how to bring justice. He knows how to vindicate you. Amen. That's what Jesus did. When Jesus was attacked and disrespected, they called him a fraud. They called him a cheat. They called him an imposter. But the scripture says in Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. Jesus wasn't worried about his reputation. Taking the form of a bond servant. Let me tell you, Jesus wasn't worried about his reputation. He knew he would be misunderstood. He knew that people would be negative, critical, and find fault. He didn't waste his time trying to prove to his critics that he was the Son of God. He didn't go around upset because the religious leaders didn't believe in him. He just kept on running his race. He kept on being his best. He kept on trusting his Father to settle his cases. Amen? And let me tell you, if you are consumed with what other people think, well, Pastor Steve, why won't they respect me? I've got to convince them to believe in me. You'll get distracted and miss your destiny. Why don't you let your defender go to work? God said that he would fight your battles for you. He'll take care of your critics. God will deal with those co-workers that are spreading rumors about you. He'll take care of that friend that's trying to make you look bad. God knows how to settle your case. David put it like this in Psalm 57. He said, for they've set a trap for me. Frantic fear has me overwhelmed. But look, the very trap they set for me has sprung upon themselves instead of me. See, David had a lot of people come against him. David had a lot of people speak against him. David said in Psalm 69, he said, I can't even count all those who hate me for no reason. There's so many people who hate me for no reason, I can't even count it. Don't feel so bad. David had a lot of people who hated him. Many influential men want me silenced, yet I've done nothing against them. Because of my love for you, Lord, I've been mocked, I've been cursed, I've been disgraced. Have you been mocked because of your love for Jesus? Even my own brothers, those of my family, act as though they don't want anything to do with me. My love for you has my heart on fire. My passion consumes me for your house. Nothing will turn me away, even though I endure all the insults of those who insult you. When they see me seeking for more of you with weeping and fasting, they just scoff and scorn at my passion. Have you ever had anyone scorn and scoff at your passion for the Lord? When I humble myself with sorrow over my sin, it gives them a reason to mock me even more. So David is humbling himself and repenting over his sin, but the people are mocking him. The leaders, the influential ones, how they scorn my passion for you. I've become the talk of the town, the theme of drunkard songs. In fact, the New Living Bible says it like this, I am the favorite topic of town gossip, and all the drunks sing about me. So you go down to the bar and they're singing about King David. What do you think they were singing about? David took the wife of one of his mighty men, got her pregnant, had her husband murdered. What do you think they were singing about David? They were singing, he was the talk of the town. The talk of the local gossip. Let me tell you, it's the same way today. People can dislike you without a cause. They don't even know you. They just pass you by at the office. They've never been to lunch with you, never even heard your story. It'd be one thing if they knew you and they didn't like you, but they judge you from a distance. They don't like you because you're happy or because you're successful or because you're talented or because you're a different nationality. Like with David, they'll attack you behind your back and try and belittle you and try and discredit you. Those are all tests, family, that we got to pass. Because the question is, are you going to get offended and go try to straighten them out? Are you going to take that bait and get involved in a battle that you're not supposed to fight? I would encourage you to stay on the high road. Stay following God's plan and path for your life. You got to realize those people don't control your destiny. They're just a distraction trying to lure you off course, trying to get you involved in something that's not between you and your destiny. One of the best things you can do is learn to ignore it. Don't even pay it any attention. That's how you leave it in the hands of God. You just ignore it. You just let God defend you. That's what David did. He said, they hate me, they attack me, they make fun of me, they sing songs about me. But he went on to say in verse 13, but I keep calling out to you. Yahweh, I know you will bend down to listen to me. For now is my season of favor. Because of your faithful love for me, you will answer my prayer and you will be my sure salvation. David was saying, man, I don't give it the time of day. I just keep on praying and praising and trusting God for favor and sure salvation. He's my defender. Can you say amen? Amen. Psalm 62 says in verse 3, but look at these who want me dead, shouting their vicious threats at me. The moment they discover my weakness, they all begin plotting to take me down. Liars, hypocrites with nothing good to say. All their energies are spent on moving me from this exalted place. I'm standing in absolute stillness, silent before the one I love, waiting as long as it takes for him to rescue me. Only God is my Savior, and he will not fail me. He alone is my safe place. His wraparound presence always protects me. He is my champion defender. There's no risk of failure with God, so why would I let worry paralyze me even when troubles multiply around me? Why? Because God is my champion defender. Why would I worry when I have trouble around me? I know God is my sure salvation, and he is my champion defender. Someone said, but Pastor Steve, what they're saying about me is not true. What if they tarnish my reputation? I'm asking you to put your reputation in God's hands. He said that he would protect it. And let me tell you, the more successful that you are, the higher that you go, the more people will come against you. If you don't want people to come against you, don't do anything. Don't be successful. Don't make any kind of an impression. Because people will come against you. Like with David, they'll talk about you without a cause. You know, everybody loved you until you got that promotion. Everybody loved you till you moved into that new house. Everybody loved you till you married that beautiful girl. Now the critics have come out of the woodwork, man. You got to let your defender go to work. You got to be still and know that he is God. That's what it says in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. The Passion Bible says it like this. Surrender your anxiety, be silent, and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. I am the God above all the nations, and I will be exalted throughout the whole earth. Here he stands, the commander, the mighty Lord of the angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. The Message Bible says, step out of the traffic, take a long, loving look at me, your high God. I'm above politics. I'm above everything. I'm the Jacob wrestling God who fights for us, the God of the angel armies who protects us. Amen. You know, it's easy to get all stirred up thinking about how you can pay him back or what's the best strategy I'm going to get even with them. Can I tell you what? Be still. Leave that case in the hands of God. Because God said in Jeremiah 51, I will defend your cause and I will avenge you. The New Living Bible says, I will be your lawyer and plead your case and I will avenge you. I will be your lawyer. The New English Translation says, I will stand up for your cause. I will pay the Babylonians back for what they've done to you. The Good News Bible says, I will take up your cause and make your enemies pay for what they did to you. The Message Bible says, I'm on your side taking up your cause. I'm your avenger. I've had to appear in court a couple of times. I don't know if anyone here has ever had to be in court before, but a few years ago, I had to appear in court. We went through a situation, a bank foreclosure, and then they were suing us, and I hired the best lawyer I could find. I didn't want an average, mediocre lawyer. I wanted someone exceptional. I wanted a pit bull. And we found a lady who was just that. And we went to court. And you know what, Jill and I, we didn't have to get up and argue our case. We didn't have to try and prove to the other side that we were in the right. We just sat back and we let our lawyer do the work. She argued for us. She objected if she heard something she didn't like. She rebutted the other testimony. She was our defender. I mean, we'd done our part. We'd given our deposition. Now it was in her hands. It was our case, but it was her battle. We didn't have to fight. We just had to be still and let her defend us. While she defended us, we rested. Let me tell you, you have a defender. And can I tell you, he's not average and he's not mediocre. The Most High God said that he will represent you, that he will defend you. He said, I'll be your lawyer. I'll plead your case. I'll take on those battles. Now, we had a great lawyer who was representing us at that time in the court case. But I can you imagine having the creator of the universe defending you? Man, you don't have to prove to people who you are. You don't have to worry night and day about your reputation. You can just stay in peace, relax, knowing it's not your battle. It's your case, but the battle is the Lord's. The battle belongs to your defender. And can I tell you, he never lost a case. He never lost a case. Instead of living worried and stressed out, why don't you just sit back and let your defender do his job? Amen. Say, I have a defender. I'm not worried. Whatever, who comes against me? What comes against me? Say, God makes my cases right. Say, God fights my battles. In Numbers chapter 12, Moses' sister and brother, Miriam and Aaron, they started speaking against Moses. They started criticizing Moses. In Numbers 12 verse 1, it says, Miriam and Aaron talked against Moses behind his back because of the Cushite wife that he'd married. They didn't like the wife that Moses chose. He married someone from a different nationality. I can imagine them saying, why did he marry her? That wasn't right. He should have known better. On and on, stirring up trouble, trying to make Moses look bad. The Bible says in verse 2, God overheard their talk. God overhears what people are saying about you. When people are talking about you, don't worry, God heard it. You may not even know that it's happening, but God knows it's happening, and he is your defender. In verse 4, it says, God broke in suddenly on Moses and Aaron and Miriam, and he said, come out, you three, to the tent of meeting. The three went out. God descended in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance to the tent, and he called Aaron and Miriam to him. And when they stepped out, he said to them, listen carefully to what I'm saying. If there's a prophet among you, I make myself known to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams, but I don't do it that way with my servant Moses. He has the run of my entire house. I speak to him intimately, in person, in plain, without riddles. He ponders the very form of God. So why did you show no reverence or respect in speaking against my servant, against Moses? The anger of God blazed out against them. Now, why was God so mad? Had they killed somebody? Did they lie? Commit adultery? No. Why was God mad? They spoke against the reputation of one of his children. Verse 10 says, when the cloud moved off from the tent, Miriam had turned leprous. Her skin was like snow. And Aaron took one look at Miriam, a leper. And he said to Moses, please, my master, please don't come down so hard on us for this foolish and thoughtless sin. Please don't make her like a stillborn baby come out of her mother's womb with half its body decomposed. And Moses prayed, God, please heal her. Please heal her. And God healed her. She had to stay 7 days out the camp, and God healed her. Listen, here's the point. Now, that's a pretty, that's a scripture that hits you right in the heart. God takes it seriously when somebody tries to discredit you, belittle you, criticize you, talk behind your back. You don't have to get upset. God sees what's happening. He doesn't just sit by idly and say, oh, too bad, they're ruining their reputation. No, I talked to a gentleman a little while ago. He was very upset because his boss was always against him. He was always trying to hold him down. I told him what I'm telling you. I said, God is your defender. People, nobody can keep you from your destiny. Don't live frustrated. Don't, trying to straighten people out, straighten your boss out. Just keep being your best. You're not working unto people. Always remember, you're working unto God. You just leave that case in his hands, and that man went to the office with a whole new attitude. Because let me tell you, God knows how to get people's attention and sometimes cause them to be quiet and change their mind. Other times, you'll just let them keep talking, and God will keep on promoting you. The more they talk, the higher you go. They think they're hurting you, but the truth is they're helping you God is paying you back for what they're saying against you by taking you to new levels in your life. That's what the scripture says. In Psalm 23, verse 5, it says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. The Message Bible says, you serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. And the Passion Bible says, you become my delicious feast even when my enemies dare to fight. See, the very ones who talk about you, disrespect you, hold you down, they will see you in a position of honor, promoted, respected, with greater influence. That's your defender going to work for you. He says that I'm preparing a feast in the presence of your enemies. Amen. Move on for me, please, Marco. You just went back. We went back. We've got to go forward. Go forward. Now, I told you about that man that went to work and his boss was always talking, trying to hold him down and hold him back. And I told him, God is your defender. Well, one day, the CEO of the whole company was in town and this man had to make a presentation. The CEO was so impressed with this man's presentation. About a year later, a position became available that should have gone to his boss. But the CEO bypassed his boss and offered the position to him. Now, instead of having to work for his boss, who was hard to get along with, unfair, the tables have turned. His boss is now working for him. Let me tell you, God knows how to settle your case. God knows how to protect your reputation. Psalm 105, verse 15 says, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. You are his anointed one. I say, I'm his anointed one. You may be in a situation where there's disrespect, people pushing you down, trying to hold you back. And maybe it's been that way for some time. You maybe don't see how it's ever going to change. But I want you to get ready because your time is coming. God has heard every negative word that's ever been spoken against you. He's seen every person that's tried to hold you back. And like with that man, vindication is on the way. Promotion is on the way. New levels are coming. God is going to make things happen you could never make happen. He's preparing a feast right now in the presence of your enemies. He's got the oven turned on, man. He's preparing a feast in the presence of your enemies. He's going to settle that case. So don't be frustrated trying to win someone over who's never going to be for you. Your goal shouldn't be to try and change someone's mind and convince them to like you. Take this in the right sense, but some people are sent to dislike you. Judas was sent to betray Jesus. If Saul didn't dislike David, David would have never became the king. Everybody's not supposed to be for you. You might be trying to win someone over that's never going to be won over. You've got to let God be your defender. You don't have to try to pay them back. You don't have to try and get even. Like with Moses, God will take care of your critics. You're not the judge. You don't have to straighten people out. Just run your race with purpose, with integrity, and with joy, and let the negative chatter bounce off of you. You see, because sometimes the way that we think, well, Pastor Steve, if I could just get this person to stop talking about me, then I could be happy. Oh, then I'd enjoy my life again. I don't want to be negative, but there's always going to be somebody talking about you. Someone's always going to be jealous, someone trying to discredit you. But the good news is it's not your battle. You don't have to defend yourself. You have a defender. God is your defender. Amen. Say, God is my defender. I mean, how much freer can you live if you'd start leaving your cases in the hands of God? Not fighting battles you're not supposed to fight. Not worried about your reputation all the time. Instead, trusting God to protect your reputation. I can tell you this firsthand, because, you know, being sometimes in the public eye in a certain way, you have a lot of critics. The more influence you have, the more exposure, the more of the negative comes with it as well. Are you with me? But the truth is, I refuse to think about the critics. I determined to be happy. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm grateful to be alive. I've learned this principle. I have a defender. And as long as I'm honoring God, as long as I keep my heart right, as long as I'm following Jesus, as long as I'm being my best, I found out there's no person who can stop you. There's no group who can stop you. There's no organization that stops you. There's no bank that can stop you. Promotion doesn't come from people. Promotion comes from God. That's what it says in Psalm 75. That's what it tells us. Psalm 75, this I know, the favor that brings promotion and power doesn't come from anywhere on earth, for no one exalts a person but God, the true judge of all. He alone determines where favor rests. He anoints one for greatness and brings another down to his knees. Promotion comes from God. Romans 8, verse 31, it says, what can we ever say to such wonderful things as these? If God is on our side, who can ever be against us? If God is on our side, who can ever be against us? Say, God is on my side. So who can ever be against me? It's interesting, when Jesus was on the earth, the people that were against him the most were religious people. The people that I've had the most opposition from in my life were religious people. Jesus didn't try and convince them, didn't try to change their mind. He didn't spend hours arguing doctrine. Do you know what Jesus did? He ignored his critics. He just ran his race. One time they criticized Jesus because he healed a man on the Sabbath day. He did the right thing, but they said he did it on the wrong day. You couldn't heal someone on the Sabbath day. Some people, no matter what you do, they're not going to be for you. You have to accept the fact that not everybody is going to accept you. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to understand you. If you're going to reach your highest potential, you've got to be comfortable being controversial. If you want everybody to like you, you're going to get stuck in your life. Jesus was the most controversial person who ever lived. 2,000 years later, people still arguing about him. He had more critics than anybody. In Matthew 27:12, it says, when the accusations rained down hot and heavy from the high priest and the religious leaders, he said nothing. Pilate asked him, don't you hear the long list of accusations? Aren't you going to say something? Jesus kept silence, not a word from his mouth. See, Jesus didn't waste his time trying to convince people who he was. How much time are you spending worried about what people are saying about you? Upset because of what they wrote about you on social media, trying to pay that friend back for trying to make you look bad. Listen, you don't have time for that pettiness. It's a distraction. If it's not between you and your destiny, man, you don't want to be, you don't want to give your time to it. You're going to let it go in one ear and go right out the other ear. And use that energy to move towards your God-given dreams and destiny. You don't have enough energy to answer your critics and fulfill your purpose at the same time. Amen? Whatever time you're spending trying to pay people back, trying to prove to them that you really are a nice person, that's emotional energy you're not going to have for the fullness of your destiny. Nehemiah understood this principle. He was a cupbearer for the king of Persia, and his dream was to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem that had broken down. So he got permission to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. He was up on a hill, and he was rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. And there were three men at the bottom of the mountain. Their names were Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. And they didn't want the wall to be rebuilt. And they were constantly yelling insults at Nehemiah, trying to bait him into a conflict, making fun of him. They'd shout things like, Nehemiah, you don't know what you're doing. You know, that wall's terrible. If a little fox walked on it, it's going to fall down. You're not a builder. You don't know what you're doing. Day and night, they were pestering him. I'm sure Nehemiah was tempted to go down there, give them a piece of his mind. But the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 6, so Sanballat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but I realized they were plotting to harm me. So I replied by sending them a message, I'm engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why would I stop working to come and meet with you? Four times they sent the same message, and each time he gave the same reply. Let me tell you, Nehemiah was smart enough to realize that they were just a distraction. What they said did not affect his destiny. Their critical words weren't true. They were trying to deceive him into lose focus so that he would get involved in something that really wasn't important. We all have Sanballats and Tobias, people that come against us, but it's simply a distraction. The negative comments and the disrespect and the insults, it's like bait trying to lure us off course. See, the good fight of faith is not trying to straighten them out. The real fight of faith is to keep your focus and not get distracted and not get entangled in things that really don't matter. If Nehemiah had come down off that wall, you know, and spent time straightening out Sanballat and Tobiah, he might have won the battle, but the war wouldn't have been completed. But because he refused to be distracted, he finished the wall in a record 52 days, completed that wall. You got to ask yourself, if I engage in this conflict, if I prove my point, even if I win them over, is it going to cause me to be any further toward my destiny? Or have I just fed my ego? Have I just made my flesh feel good? I encourage you to stay on the high road. Your time is too valuable. Your destiny is too important. And your assignment is too great to get involved in battles that don't matter. There will always be Sanballats yelling insults. There'll always be Tobias trying to get under your skin. Don't worry about it. Remember, you have a defender. Let him fight those battles. God will take care of your critics. It's interesting, when Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall, he was up on the mountain, the critics were down at the bottom. Here's the principle. Anytime you start answering your critics, you've got to go down. When you start defending yourself, trying to prove to people who you are, you're leaving the high place and you're going down to their level. When you realize you have a defender, when you know God will fight your battles, then you'll do like Jesus. Don't even answer your critics. You'll do like Nehemiah, stay on the mountain so you can focus on what is really important, focus on what God has called you to do. Today, let me tell you, you need to go back up on that mountain. The critics are always going to be there, people that don't understand you, people that are never going to be for you. I'm asking you today, let God be your defender. Put your reputation in His hands. Because let me tell you, God's already lined up the right people who will be for you. The right people who will celebrate you. They will help push you into your purpose. But the key is, don't waste your time trying to convince the wrong people. Just run your race. Keep honoring God. Keep being your best. Amen. And let me tell you, family, if you will do that, God will be your defender. Thank you, Marco. Move on to the next one, Marco. Am I done? Am I done, Brother Marco, back there? I am? All right. Praise the Lord. I'm going to declare this over you today. Do you receive this today? Do you receive this today? I declare in the name of Jesus that God is your defender. I declare that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If God is for you, who can stand against you? That God is settling your cases today. That God is bringing vindication. That God is bringing vindication in your life in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you are our defender. I thank you, Lord, that you are our protector. You are our deliverer. You are our provider. I thank you, Lord, it doesn't matter who's against us. What matters is who was for us, and you are for us. Lord, you are on our side. We do not have to fear no matter what anybody tries to say or tries to do. Thank you, Father, that you are our defender. You're our lawyer. You argue our cases. You make our wrongs right. You take what was meant for our harm. You turn it to our good in the name of Jesus. Lift your hand, say, I'm not going to live my life frustrated, trying to defend myself. Say, I have a defender. God is defending me. God is making my cases right. God is bringing vindication into my life in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to live in peace. I'm going to live without worry. I'm going to live without stress. I'm going to keep my eyes on God. Thank you, Lord, for defending me in Jesus' name. Just keep your head. Won't you just bow your head for a moment as we close, as we pray. Every head bowed. Can I ask every eye to be closed? While your head is bowed, your eyes closed. Listen, I want to pray right now for anyone who's here this morning. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain, you know for sure? If you died today, you know you'd go to heaven. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking you is, if you were to die today, can you say you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can know that for sure. The good news is you can know that all is right and well between you and God. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I tell you, you can walk out of here this morning and know that all is right between you and the Lord. Know that every mistake you've made in your life is forgiven and it's washed away, and you can know for sure that heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me too, include me in that prayer. I want to make sure that all is right between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, I want you quickly right now to just lift your hand up. Just raise your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. You see any hands, Tom? No? Nobody? All right. Praise the Lord. Say this with me. Say next Sunday. Everybody, say next Sunday. I'm bringing someone to church with me. I believe they're going to give their life to Jesus. Say, next Sunday, I'm bringing someone to church with me in the name of Jesus. Amen. You ready?
I'm ready. This is good preaching.
Thank you.
Good, man. That just stirs my faith. I love that picture of God defending us in court. Amen. Family, this is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And those that are watching online, you can go ahead and give. It's really simple. There's various ways that will come up on the screen. One, if you're in the service, you can use the envelope. You can give by any different way, credit card, whatever. It's all secure. But giving online is really easy. It's the way I always do it. I give through our app. The first time that you do it, it's one time set up. And then it's just simple. And we have people in our church that give, that have even set it on recurring. If they know what they earn and they want to tithe on that, some do it weekly, some do it bi-weekly. And it's so appreciated in church because it's so faithful and so steady. But thinking about the subject, because whenever Pastor Steve tells me what he's going to preach, I always think of something in the scripture that talks about that in the area of finances. Because he's talking about God is our defender. And I have to think of the scripture in Malachi. I'm going to read it to you from Malachi. It says, bring one-tenth of your income, talking about tithing, into my storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this way, says, you have that scripture, Malachi 3. See if I won't open for you the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. Then it says, then for your sake, God is speaking, I will stop the insects from eating your crops. They will not destroy the produce of your land. So the vines in your field will not lose their unripened grapes, says the Lord of armies. So I love that because that talks about God being our defender when we are tithers. What happens is when we begin to tithe, where we say, God, the first tenth, I'm honoring you. This is what the word says. When I give my first tenth, what you do is you put all your finances under God's protection. And he says, then I will defend you. So does that mean that nothing ever bad ever goes wrong? Because sometimes, you know, it's like you say, Nadine was saying, man, anything that could go wrong went wrong. It's like, you know, the AC breaks down and you need to get new tires and do things go wrong? Of course things go wrong. But the thing is, at the end of the day, God will make sure that it works out to your advantage. That's what the word says, is that he will defend you. And you don't, because you know what, it's so, the market's so up and down. There's so many variables as to what can happen with your finances. I want the protection. of God over my finances. Amen. Just as an example, Kathy in our church, she was telling us a couple of months ago, after 26 years in her job, they suddenly decided to retrench her. That's a blow. Let me tell you, that's a blow. That's like, okay, so now I'm this age, and now I've got to start again, and I've got to, where will I find a job? Where will I find one with those benefits? And you know what? She stood on the word of God, and she believed God, and within 2 weeks, she had a better position with better benefits. Let me tell you, God can take care of you. Put your trust in him. Amen. So go ahead. If you're ready, just prepare yourself to give. If you've given online this week already, thank you so much. Thank you to those giving. And we're going to pray. I wish I could have had you listen to Miss Anna pray in prayer this morning. Man, I said she left no stone unturned. She prayed over finances, but I'll try to take a little page out of your book. Father, I just thank you for your anointing on your people, that your protection is over them in the area of their finances, that you defend them against every enemy that comes against them, anything that comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, that you just raise up a standard against that, Father. I thank you for new opportunities, new streams of income. Father, thank you that you have promised to meet all of our needs, and we just declare that it's done. I thank you for the windows of heaven open above your people, flooding them, not just trickling towards them, but flooding them with blessing after blessing, that they know it's the hand of God upon them. In the name of Jesus, we put our trust in you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love to give. I love to know. I feel good about it. You want to be under that umbrella, right? Under the umbrella. Praise the Lord. Thank you, my darling. Okay.
All right. Praise God. Well, I just want to remind all of the men that we are having a mighty men's breakfast on Saturday, the 28th of November at 9 a.m. Do we have the slide up here, guys? Thank you. On Saturday, November 28th, 9 a.m., we're having a Mighty Man breakfast. I'm going to be speaking. Someone said, Pastor Steve, what is a mighty man? Come find out. God's called you to be a mighty man. Come find out. That's what I'm going to speak about. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have a great breakfast. Great time of fellowship. Come join us. Also, family, this Thursday night at 7 p.m., we're having a training meeting with our media team. If you'd like to help and serve on the media team, please come join us on Thursday at 7 p.m. We're going to be training people actually in these different jobs that they do in the media, the different things that they do. So anyone's welcome to come. If you say, Pastor Steve, can I help? Yes, we need your help. Come Thursday night, 7 p.m., and we'll show you what to do. God bless you. Stand with us this morning. So glad you were here today. As we go, let's raise our hallelujah one more time. I raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah in the prayer.